You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Jason Smith.
Good. There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Greetings and welcome inside the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Danettes today. And we have Doug Gottlieb before you. Finally, you're finally getting to go do a game, right? After all these COVID pauses, you're out doing a game this weekend.
No, I've done a bunch of games, but we've missed like the last four because of COVID pauses. So, yeah. Big one tonight. There's actually a big one on Fox Sports 1. I'm not doing that one. I'm doing the other one on Fox Sports 1, which is UNLV versus San Jose State. But there's Utah State versus Boise State as well, which is actually a really good game. So anyway, check out Fox Sports 1 later tonight.
Nice. Look at you. I'm glad you're finally getting to do a game, because I know you must have been, you know, wondering, boy, are they canceling these games because they don't like my analysis on the show?
And very strong possibility.
It could be.
Possibility.
I feel good about that for you.
Or would I get traded with a bunch of dead cap money hanging behind me?
Yeah. What is your dead cap charge for this year? Like, what's the Doug Gottlieb 2021 dead cap charge?
Not very much. Not very much.
Well, look, we'll get into some college basketball coming up during the show today. As you know, the Jim Boeheim started to go crazy and starting to weigh in on Duke, and we're wondering what's going on with the tournament. But obviously, the big story in sports the last 24 hours: the trade of Carson Wentz to the Indianapolis Colts from the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles wind up getting back a second and a third round pick, and the second round pick could wind up being a first round pick depending on Wentz's playing time if he plays 75% of the snaps this year. This is the latest domino to fall, and I look at this, Doug, and I say, all right, they did the best they could, because clearly they thought it was going to be some kind of marketplace where, all right, Matthew Stafford went for this, and now we really have to trade Wentz, and let's try to drum up interest around the league and see where. And what they were finding out is that, well, just because Matthew Stafford went for two firsts and a third doesn't mean that, okay, Carson Wentz is going to go for that, or we're going to get more. They kind of got what they could. I mean, this was Carson Wentz's value. It could be a first and a third, and I'm glad they did it. I think they had to do this now because they had put him out there, and the longer they wait, the worse the offer is going to get, and they got what they could for him. So I'm kind of happy with what the Eagles did.
Yeah, it still, though, is what I consider chasing the market. They massively overlisted their property, and they got two bites on it, and then turns out Wentz only really wanted to go to the Eagles. So, I mean, all they really wanted to go to the Colts. So the Colts end up kind of bidding against themselves. The Eagles left themselves with no other choice other than to trade him because it got out. And so I agree they did the best they could with what they the best they could at that point in time, but they completely butchered this thing to where they just kind of give away an asset which is still going to cost them on the salary cap this year.
You know, as far as Wentz goes, I disagree that they gave him away, because if the guy's good, they were going to get more for him. You know, like, I think he can go to Indianapolis and do really well, right? Like, the Indianapolis took a worthwhile gamble on him because the guys they were going to get, he was the best of the guys, correct? He's not going to get Deshaun Watson. They're not going to trade him within division. Aaron Rodgers, whatever his magical, mystical, beautiful mystery plan is not going to include
trading,
no,
he's
Indianapolis.
He's trading Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we don't know what his – he's got a beautiful mystery plan, Doug. We don't know what it is. It's a beautiful mystery.
You're not trading the NFL's MVP. Keep going.
It's a beautiful mystery, man. And just go with the mystery part of it, man. It's all mysterious, man. So he's the guy they were going to get, right? right? You could kick the tires a bit on Derek Carr. Is that really that much of an upgrade? You can look at other guys. Is Jimmy Garoppolo, would he be that much of an upgrade? And so they took the gamble they needed to get. But for the Eagles, if he was really in demand, it doesn't matter how they handle it. Still, somebody would have said, hey, we got to have him, right? You want this, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll take this contract, all these things. And part of it was, look, they're taking Wentz's contract, you know, with him as he goes. So you get a second, a third that's going to wind up being a first, because Carson Wentz is, look, as long as he plays 75% of the snaps, which is the plan, clearly, and if they're winning, which they should be because the Colts are good, well, then it's a first and a third. So it's kind of, you know, even though I do agree they could have handled it differently, but I don't know that in the end it was anything, they got anything less than what they would have gotten had they, you know, played their cards a little bit better.
That's fair. That's a fair way to look at it. I mean, we're both guessing. We both have no true knowledge, but you're right. I mean, the idea you're not going to get two firsts for a guy who no one knows in terms of his mentality how fragile he is going back to play for, you know, his former coach. But I do think when you balance it out against what the Lions got for Stafford, and I will grant you, two completely different players, different places in their career, franchises in different places, all those different things. It's there's no way you can say, hey, you know, they got what anyone would think would be viable return on their investment based upon what they got back.
Do you still like Wentz going forward? Because I look at him as he's a change of scenery kind of guy, but I think that moving forward with him is if he gets in that different situation, look, he can blossom again because he needs positivity more than anything else. I mean, he's a guy that needs positivity. Look, we all need positivity in our lives, right? We all need positivity. We all need people to believe in us and going forward. And I didn't see any of that in Philadelphia the last couple of years. Yes, his play declining had a lot to do with it, but you can see how adversarial things were with him and the team after he got benched. And look, now the Eagles don't have the head coach or either quarterback that brought him to the Super Bowl, and you know, just 4 years ago. So, but going to this new situation now in Indianapolis, he's got coaches there who believe in him. Look, Frank Reich was his quarterback's coach when he achieved the highest success when he played at MVP level the Eagles Super Bowl year. So I kind of like it. Even if he does turn into something good, I can look at it now and say, all right, Carson Wentz could wind up being very good with the Indianapolis Colts. But if he came back to the Eagles, was he going to be this quarterback again? Is he going to stop? No. Hey, new head coach, new everything else. That wasn't going to happen.
Right. No, there's no chance. No, this is his last best chance for Carson Wentz. Right. His last best chance to go back to a guy who relates to him well, which is interesting. It's like we just go and track everybody Frank Reich has coached, and we know who the next quarterback is going to be for the Colts, right? They had Philip Rivers, who he used to coach in San Diego, and now he's got... and now he brings back Carson Wentz. That means at some point in time, Nick Foles is going to make an appearance, and let's see who else in between the two.
Randall Cunningham will come back. Sure, he'll play a little.
Like that said, yeah. Wentz going forward, I have no idea. I do know that he picked up a lot of bad habits. There is something about his personality and how he handled things that caused him to be on the outside looking in on of his own locker room, that they never really, you know, felt him, if you will. And I think he's got to calm his mind and his feet in the pocket. If there was a team to do it for, this is the best one, because they have, you know, obviously losing Anthony Costanzo hurts them to retirement. But outside of that, they have an outstanding offensive line, and they have a very good young running back. And they've had multiple running backs, but Jonathan Taylor appears to be a star. And I think they're a team tailor-made for a guy who needs a little bit of extra time and a little bit of, you know, a little bit better running game in order to kind of get his balance. My guess would be that Frank Reich takes a ton of the pressure off him early in the year and lets him get back to being who they both think he can be. Do I know he can get it back? I don't, because I know just how fragile confidence is. And no matter how good you're throwing in the preseason, once you see it, right, you get hit in the regular season, it's a different sport.
Yeah, and plus, I think being in Indianapolis is a great fit for him, not just because, hey, he's got the coach, he's got this, but Indianapolis pressure is different than Philadelphia pressure, and it's different than Chicago pressure. And as it turns out, you know, we had Jay Glazer on the show last night, and he said, look, Chicago was never really in. Right, like it was Indianapolis, and that was it. The Chicago is kind of but they were never really a player for it. Is that even though you're still the quarterback and you're still going to get the lion's share of the blame and all and the lion's share of the praise if you succeed, it's kind of different because the pressure in the bigger media markets, it's an everyday feeding frenzy and every day.
Philadelphia.
He had to deal with reports of players that just didn't like him, that said, hey, you know, he needs to be a better leader. He's not a great leader.
Yeah, but why is that? I guess, do you think that's only markets like Philadelphia and New York? You don't think that the Colts within their own market, everything's under a microscope? You don't think that being in the same uniform as Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck is going to put a ton of pressure on him? That team felt like they were a quarterback away, and he thinks he's that quarterback. Like, I understand that we have all these media reports. Do you think when you're in the NFL, you actually pay attention to any of that? And my answer is probably not. These guys don't read the paper. They don't listen to sports radio. They come in, they go to work, they go home. So,
yeah, but look at the biggest thing with Wentz was that the report we had, it was 2 years ago, that he was coming off, he was still in the afterglow of the Super Bowl, where many unnamed players didn't like Wentz, right? Personally, they didn't like him. They didn't think he was a good leader. And it was a very big deal. And Wentz had to talk about it. And that's something that went from, here's something that the media did, or something that was a big topic, and it just came to light. Like, that's not happening in Indianapolis. You know, we're not getting a big story out of the Indy Star that, hey, guess what? No one on the Colts likes Carson Wentz. We polled all the players, and they all talked off the record, and they don't like him because they think he does this, he does this, he does that. I mean, that doesn't happen in Indianapolis.
Well, I mean, it hasn't happened because we haven't had a quarterback like this, and you haven't. It's also part of the ship that they run, and how loose a ship they've been running in Philadelphia. That's allowed to be part of the narrative, right? Like, you don't think there's plenty of other major markets? Like, you haven't heard it out of Chicago, no matter how bad Mitch Trubisky is, that's a tough media market. Like, you go through, that speaks more to who the Eagles are as a franchise than it does the city of Philadelphia. Like, I'm just getting, like, the city of Indianapolis is all about the Colts. All about the Colts. Way more so than they, you know, everybody thinks it's a basketball town. Like, it's been a football town for 20 years. So I understand what you're saying, that we come in with predetermined bias. You know, you being a New Yorker, growing up in the Northeast and knowing what those markets are like, you're like, man, they're vicious. And they are. Just, I don't know if that really affects the quarterback. Right. If he sucks in Indy, he's going to get booed. If he sucked in Philadelphia, he's going to get booed. Period. So, and those are the things, it's the only times he'll have real interactions with real people.
Well, here's the thing. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan. It's one thing to say, okay, I can tune out the noise. I can tune out what people say. But when you bring it into the locker room, that's a big deal, right? Like, if I was walking around Fox and for some reason there was a big story in one of the industry trades, nobody at Fox Sports Radio likes Jason Smith. Nobody likes him. Nobody likes to work with him. You know, he took my dollar once and he got a soda out of the vending machine, never gave it back. He brings in food all the time and never offers us any, never offers to buy us whatever it was. I would feel really awful about this, because this is what people think about me. And would that affect me when I go into work every day, and how they, you know, is this somebody that doesn't like me? Is this somebody that doesn't like me? Is it Mike Harmon that I'm on with? Is it you? That would be something that I would have no choice but to have to deal with. So there's certain things you can tune out, and there, you know, when it comes to the media, and look, I'm not someone who thinks, well, look, I'll report what they say about this guy. Look, that's what happens. That's part of the gig. But when it comes into the locker room like that, that's something that you kind of have no choice but to. And when you, I mean, that's something I'd think about every day, all the time, every time I'm going into work. There'd be very few times in my life where that wouldn't be front and center, because I, you know, doing what we do for a living, it's very public, it's out there. And I would walk around, not paranoid, but wonder, does this guy like me? Is that going to change who I am? Am I going to say blank all you guys? I can't stand all of you because I know some of you don't like me. And it's probably you, and it's probably you. I become a different person. I'm a different person on the air. I'm not as happy as I was. It's a little bit more. I'm a little bit more full of hate. I mean, that would get into my personality. If I was in that kind of situation, I could see where that would fester. And you know, clearly Carson Wentz, it's just not going to that meat grinder where that's even going to be a topic of conversation.
Yeah, the whole experiment is going to be fascinating, right? Did fill it up, and I actually don't necessarily what happens. It's like the Brady Belichick thing, right? Tom Brady wasn't great for a good portion of the year. He wasn't particularly good in the second half of the NFC Championship game, and they had a smart game plan and it was pretty conservative in the Super Bowl. But because he won the Super Bowl, well, then he was right and Belichick was wrong, right? Like that's how some people's brains work. And I don't think that's the case with Brady and Belichick. And I don't think that would be the case if Carson Wentz ultimately succeeds in Philadelphia. It was toxic. It had gone awry. But he had started to play terribly as well and had lost that locker room. And now we get a chance to see if he can get it back.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. It is Fox Sports Radio. We'll have more on Carson Wentz coming up. We got... big guest coming up top of the next hour, so in about 45 minutes from now, Colts Insider, who's going to stop by and give us all the latest on Carson Wentz. But coming up next, we'll get into Ben Roethlisberger, because suddenly it seems like the Steelers are pushing him out the door, like Harrison Ford, Air Force One, get off my plane, we want you gone. Plus, LeBron James hits a huge milestone last night. Can the guy really play as long in the NBA as Tom Brady's playing in the NFL? That's coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, this is Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. We have more on Carson Wentz coming up in about 40 minutes. Got an insider from the Indy Star coming by with us to let us know just exactly where things sit now for Carson Wentz. We got more football coming up in a few minutes, because now it looks like maybe one future Hall of Fame quarterback might be being pushed out the door. But last night, it happened late. We had the big, well, what passes for the big matchup between the Nets and the Lakers, where actually no stars played in this game, Doug. They brought up everybody from the G League. LeBron James didn't play. There was no Harden. There was no Kyrie. They all had guys dressing up as them. So it looked like the Nets and the Lakers. But, you know, clearly without this star power, it was kind of just a game on a Thursday night. But it was kind of a fun game to see. You get to see what a potential NBA Finals preview would look like, albeit without a lot of the star players.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in uniforms there were. I mean, you did see James Harden, you did see Kyrie Irving, you did see LeBron James. But when you cut out the other two, you know, seven-footers, it's a different sport.
It was a night in which the Lakers fell to the Nets, 109-98. But a big highlight in the game for LeBron James, he gets to 35,000 points, just the third player in the history of the game to get there. He's probably about, let's see, the rest of this season and maybe another season and a half away from breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. He's probably going to play till he at least gets 40,000 points, probably holding out for Bronny to give him that assist, right? He's got 39,998, and it's a, hey, listen, we're getting up court. Bronny, you give me that pass, I'll hit a jumper, and then we hug, and that's the highlight I want. Then I can walk off the court forever. Going to get that assist from Bronny for 40K. I look at him, Doug, and I see LeBron as – if we talk about Tom Brady, that look at what Brady's doing at 42 and 43, winning Super Bowls, and he can continue to win Super Bowls as long as the Bucks have good weapons around him. Like we saw what he was like at the end in New England, and now here he is with better weapons, you know, two good running backs, three good receivers, two tight ends. Yeah, he can keep winning. Can LeBron James do what he's doing up until 40? I mean, we like to say, well, he's got a couple more years left of his prime. He's going to slowly do this. He's playing at MVP level right now. I mean, we've seen him do this for a long time now. Can he still play close to a high level as long as he's got guys like AD around him when he's 40 years old, 41, 42, getting to be as old as Brady?
I don't know. I mean, like, look, the thing is he's become much smarter with his movement. He's obviously developed. He has that kind of weird, funky step forward, step back, jump shot that creates space. He's better in the post. You know, the big thing is defensively. You know, he doesn't move as much as he used to, but when he needs to, he still really can. And he's an incredible verbal leader, and everybody plays hard around him. As the team is being constructed, I think he can do it for a while. I mean, the problem is that, like, when it goes fast. Even with LeBron, at some point it's going to go and go fast. And then whether, like, it's got to be injuries. Like, at some point, don't you sit him down this year? You're playing without Anthony Davis. Great. Anthony Davis will be back fresh and rested for the playoffs. What about LeBron James? He's playing crazy. I know he's not practicing, so the wear and tear is not nearly as severe as someone leads you to believe. Anyway, to answer your initial question, a common logic says no, he can't play into his 40s and have the same movement. But he's destroyed any other ceiling for what he can do at this age. It shouldn't be that much of a surprise if he did so going forward.
You know, you bring up an interesting point about him and all the minutes he's playing now. Because we did the show on Monday, and we talked about his load, about how, hey, he wants to win MVP. He wants to be the all-time leading scorer. You know, all things that are going to happen.
He's a big legacy guy. No matter if he says it or doesn't, he is absolutely a legacy guy.
Can the Lakers be the bad guy? Can they sit him down? Can they say, listen, I know you want all this, but
absolutely,
we got this game. And he says, okay, I'll sit. I won't play in this game. And then we're going to do it again next week and maybe the week after that. They can do that?
Oh, I think that's what this sets up for. I think it sets up for the Lakers being the bad guy and LeBron be like, look, I want to play. But, you know, this is just something. This is a management decision. I don't think there's any question about it that he's gotten positive equity, not just for winning a championship, but for how much and how hard he's played in this first half of the season. I think he'll get the benefit of the doubt from fans. And I think the easy out is going to be the team taking the bullet, if you will, for LeBron.
It really is amazing that he continues to go at this in games where, look, the Lakers are a clear underdog and they could sit him, right? Like last Sunday, going to Denver, playing in the Mile High Air, they had won a bunch of games in a row. They had played three overtime games in a row. That's a game where I thought, okay, they're going to sit him. You take the L and you leave. Because you see that. The Clippers are doing that. The Nets are doing that. They listen, we'll play without our guys. If we go into Utah and get drubbed like the Clippers did, you know, hey, we're okay taking that L. It's just weird that I see him in games where I go, boy, this is like one of those nights where you can see the ending coming, even though he's going to play and it's LeBron and he could give you 35 and 12 and 10 and have an incredible night. When you're really going up against a team that has you outgunned, that's where I go, these decisions are easy to say, hey, listen, you're not going to play in this game. We're not going to play you here. And we're just going to continue to bank some wins for a while and be smart and be smart with your play. But
I don't think he still plays
in these games.
I don't think Frank Vogel's making that decision. I think that's a LeBron James decision, to be totally honest with you, you know? And what's going to suck is if for God forbid, if he got hurt, it's going to be on Frank Vogel's tombstone, right? Like, he's the one who played. But I don't think this is a Frank Vogel decision in terms of the volume of minutes he's playing.
So this will come from way above, and he'll be okay.
It doesn't come from way above. It comes from LeBron himself. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're gonna have people say, well, that means LeBron's not coachable. No, he's coachable. But I mean, like, what are you gonna do? LeBron wants to play. He's gonna play. He plays. It's like Kobe Bryant. When Kobe Bryant tore his Achilles tendon, they were like, well, you know, Mike Brown played him too much, or whoever. I think Mike Brown was the coach. Whoever played him too much. Like, what are you talking about? Nobody's taking Kobe Bryant out. Kobe doesn't want to come out of the game. It's not happening.
So is this going to be after the All-Star break? Is he going to go like this and play in the game that he wants to play in?
I mean, how bad is the All-Star game thing? Like, literally. Oh, hey, guys, listen, we know none of you want to be there, but we got good news. There's going to be none of the fun parties and hangouts that there used to be in a city like Atlanta, which is a great hangout city. Wait, so you want me to go to an All-Star game that's only a one-day deal? Everything's condensed. I got to follow these protocols. And oh yeah, by the way, I can't go hang out and socialize. Yeah, no, you cannot.
Okay, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It sounds like fun. I could go, you know, I could stay at home or go somewhere warm for a couple days. Which is it? Like, is this really a discussion? That's where Kyrie was smart. He's got his bad back, right? And then load management and bad back and all these other non-provable injuries.
Yeah, but he should be good. Like, if he can sprinkle sage across the court before every game, he'd be healthy, wouldn't he?
Have you seen the walking stick that he's bringing everywhere with him?
Oh, yeah. Walking. Hey, well, I've used walking sticks before. They're kind of fun. I mean, it makes you feel wizened and older with age as I have a walking stick, so I know things about life. I'm like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It does make you feel wise. It really does. I mean, he doesn't have a lightsaber, so he's not Obi-Wan Kenobi. But it does. I mean, it is. He's going to go down as one of the weirdest guys in the history of the league, right?
Yeah.
Remember that? He's going to be like 20 years from now. Remember that time I had a walking stick? I had those guys so messed up in the media. It's pretty funny.
Hey, what did Rodman do? Well, he partied a lot. Yeah. But yeah, did anything happen during the games? Yeah, a few times. Yeah. But let me tell you about Kyrie Irving. Right, tell about Rodman is stories that in 20 years people are going to go, I remember when they had that Kyrie Irving guy. Dude, he was crazy, man. He had so many things going on. Are you believing in the Nets now a bit? I mean, they've won a lot of games in a row. They're at the top of the East now, and they seem to be figuring it out by playing two of their three stars every night.
Well, what is believing in the Nets?
That the Nets can get to the NBA Finals.
I believe they can. I don't believe they're likely to. But I absolutely believe they can. I mean, look, Kevin Durant might be the best player in the league. James Harden's probably been the best offensive player in the league. And Kyrie Irving's right there as well in the discussion. And they're trying to find pieces to put around them to plug some of the defensive holes. So, I mean, like, look, they all have holes. You know, Ben Simmons has become the best defensive player in the NBA. And they're taking him off the point some. But, I mean, Ben Simmons' shooting is a massive hole. Danny Ainge came out yesterday and said he doesn't think they have a championship team there, right? So everybody has some sort of holes. The problem with the Nets is it's a defensive hole, like, in general, and it's really hard to sign a couple of guys that are going to play a couple minutes a game and hope they fix your entire team's defense problems.
Fox Sports Radio, The Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan today. So we'll have more on the NBA. We'll get into the All-Star game coming up in about 15 minutes because both sides seem to be at odds with playing the game. And actually, one thing that Doug and I agree completely upon, we'll get into as well. But we have this story about Ben Roethlisberger that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. All right, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert gave the big statement about Roethlisberger the other day. Hey, he hopes that we can come to terms and he can come back and play. And gave the big, he's our quarterback right now. Hey, he's a big part of this. And you know when you hear that, you know, warning bells are going off, right? Because Jared Goff was the quarterback of the Rams right now. He's our guy right now. Right. Roethlisberger is our guy right now.
Right now.
So they're figuring out they want him to come back. They obviously want him to take less money. That's number one. And then Colbert comes out late yesterday, and says, can't wait to see what Dwayne Haskins can do on this team. They signed him to a reserve futures contract a few weeks ago. And now it's, hey, Haskins, he's got a change of scenery. He's got a fresh start. We can't wait to see what Dwayne Haskins can do with this football team. Dwayne Haskins is a first-round bust who is there hoping to rehabilitate his career. The biggest issue was he didn't know how to lead. Nobody liked him, but I can't wait to see what he does for this football team. He's not been dynamic. He didn't win a lot of games, but yet here's Kevin Colbert going out of his way to praise Dwayne Haskins. Doug, they are just pushing Roethlisberger out the door, and they are going to just push him into it. It's like, we want you to retire, and eventually we're going to keep doing this until you decide, yes, I'm going to retire from the Steelers, retire from the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't know the question on Dwayne Haskins was my only issue there, right? Did somebody ask him specifically about, because it was on their team's website. And did they ask him specifically about the signing of Dwayne Haskins? Because saying something nice like, we can't wait to see what he's got to offer, it's kind of innocuous. I do think when you combine it with what he said at the press conference going back 2 days ago, you're like, this does not look good for Big Ben. The problem is that they don't actually have leverage over Big Ben. Like, to make him miserable and have to beat out guys that he's better than, like Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph, like that doesn't appear to be that hard. The question is, what is the dollar amount they can, what's the least money they can pay him and get him to come play football and push that cap number down the road a little bit to when he does get retire? Like, that's the big question, to see if it makes sense there in this situation.
Well, the fact that he said we're anxious to see what he can do, like you can say, hey, he's a really good young man, we're excited to have him. No, we're anxious to see what he can do means we want to put him out there. We want him to see. You know, so this conversation.
I think you're taking a quote off of a website, and it's a player that he signed. But like, look, yeah. Dwayne Haskins, as you point out, was a disaster. He couldn't get the plays in. Couldn't get him in. Like, I tweeted this out that I know somebody on that previous staff, not this staff, Jake Gruden's staff, and they didn't want to draft him, but he was having such trouble getting the plays in, you know, on time and repeated in the proper order, that they actually had him checked for dyslexia. They're like, man, there's got to be something going on. And it was just, you know, Doug Williams called him out for his work ethic. He wasn't doing the job. It wasn't doing the work. So, and then when he did get in there, he's not an athlete. He's heavy-footed, but he's a big-time thrower. I mean, he's got a huge arm. But that doesn't, like, Matt Canada's an all-new offensive coordinator. It's a completely different style than how they've been playing. And I agree with you. I don't think Ben fits it. I don't think they want Ben. But I also don't want to run with an innocuous comment that's on a website. Remember, every player you sign, oh, can't wait to see what this guy has to do. Every player that gets injured is going to fully recover from whatever surgery they recover from. Neither of these two things are particularly true.
I hear you on that, but is any team saying they're anxious to see what a backup quarterback can do when they have a quarterback like Roethlisberger there? Like, you know, the Packers aren't saying, we're excited to see what, you know, we're anxious to see what Jordan Love can do coming off this season. Well, wait, Rodgers is just the MVP.
I disagree. Like, I haven't seen their comments, but, like, I'm sure they're pretty anxious to see what he can do next year in the preseason. I don't think that's crazy. Like, look, we drafted a dude in the first round. He didn't dress for most of the season as the third-string quarterback. I'd like to see what I'd like to see what the possible future of this franchise looks like. I'm anxious to see it. I don't know. I just think you're parsing words. If you think that they're running Ben out the door for Dwayne Haskins, I would greatly disagree with you.
Well, no. This is part of the move that the Steelers want. This is part of the pressure they're putting on Roethlisberger. Look, I don't think Dwayne Haskins is going to be the guy. They're probably telling him, look, if you want to come back, there's two things that you have to know. All right, what's number one? You got to take way less money. Okay, yes. He's already tried to get out in front of that and say, oh, of course I'll take less money. I want to win. The second thing is, we're going to go out and get your replacement. Whether it's Dwayne Haskins or there's a lot of guys out there this year, we're not going to wait till after this year and you can have a nice season where, you know, you go to different games and they give you a rocking chair and presents and you wave. If you can't throw the football, then you'll be replaced by the guy we're bringing in. Whether we trade for Sam Darnold or we get somebody in free agency, we make a trade with another team, we're bringing in your guy. You got to beat him out. You got to probably beat out Dwayne Haskins. And if you're good, awesome. But if you're not playing well, you're going to sit, because we gave away an 11-0 start last year. We were a Super Bowl team, man, and you hit the wall and you couldn't throw the football more than 5 yards when we got to the last 5-6 games of the season. So if you're good with that, then come back and play. And
I understand, but they can't cut him because of that contract. Like, look, this is the same Kevin Colbert who, remember last year, do you remember what he said last year this time? Last year this time he said, we're all just children. Basically, like, he's the adult in the room because he's won the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Same guy. Now he's like, yeah, he comes back, we'll have to have a talk about it, you know. So he's a little bit over the top with a lot of things he does. That said, they can't make him retire, and they can't cut him. So they really, if anything, they got to be gentle with Ben Roethlisberger, because he can really hurt the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, you know, if he makes them cut him and they have that huge cap number.
Right. That's what they have. The only thing they can do is push him into retiring. Right. And Roethlisberger, they know him for years. He's going to try to make it look like it's his idea, right? Because that's Roethlisberger's whole, you know, that's been his whole act the entire time. Well, everything that goes on is really, you know, it's my decision. It's look, who do you think is leaking information when Roethlisberger is injured? Oh, he's got all these dinged up with all these things, but he's going to play Sunday. And Mike Tomlin goes, I don't know who's telling anybody this story. Well, guess what? You know, how do you think that's been getting out? You know, so that's the only way they can get to him is to say, look, this is the situation. If you're okay with that, then you come back and play this year and, hey, we'll go forward and hopefully things are great. But if not, you got to understand that this is how your last season in the NFL could go. Right. And that's where he's got to decide, do I want that or have I made enough money? And in a week, you know, they probably want the decision from him before free agency so they can go out and, you know, do what they want to do as far as quarterback wise. At this point, for the first time, I can see where we've seen him play his last down in the NFL, because I can see him saying, after, you know, consulting with my family and everything else, I've decided to hang it up, NFL. I mean, I can see that coming up in the next week or 10 days.
Oh, I can too. I just, the only part that we break on this thing is the taking a quote about Dwayne Haskins, where he says something nice about Dwayne Haskins as they're trying to send a message to Ben Roethlisberger. That press conference was message enough, right? That the Steelers, hey, I want to come back. Yeah, not so sure here, right? That was message was received by Ben Roethlisberger. I'm just going to disagree with you on the Haskins note.
Well, do you think there's no correlation between here it is 2 days ago, where, yeah, he's our guy right now, and now here's glowing things about Dwayne Haskins? It's like Marvel rolling out phase one into phase two, right? Phase three, phase four is coming. WandaVision's kicking it off. This is like the phases of Kevin Colbert and the Steelers' plan. Look, I hit him with the big one and where he's got to make decisions. Then I say glowing things about another quarterback that we could bring in to beat him out. Then we got something else. They're in like phase two of their Marvel Universe plan to push Ben Roethlisberger out.
Okay, what's phase three? Draft one in the NFL draft?
Phase three would be the potential talks with other teams about a quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if Darnold is a guy that's mentioned there, because I think he would be a really good fit in Pittsburgh, because he reminds me a lot of Roethlisberger. The stuff he does well, he plays alive. He's a big guy in the pocket. He's got an arm, can get and see downfield a bit. But I think that's the next step is, hey, these quarterbacks are getting linked with the Pittsburgh Steelers now, whether in a trade or some kind of move in free agency. That's kind of what I'm thinking would be phase three.
But again, you can't do that. Because of that cap number, you can't do that unless you have an assurance that he's going to walk away. So I don't think it's just a dangerous game of chicken that they're playing. And all Ben Roethlisberger has to say is, nah, I feel like playing. And I don't really feel like taking a pay cut. You know, that's all he has to say. And they're completely screwed.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Coming up next, one thing Doug and I agree on 100%. Now everything we know about this thing is now thrown out the window. That's coming up next right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show. Happy Friday. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick today. Guys are back on Monday. And, you know, we talked about LeBron getting to 35,000 points a few minutes ago. And, you know, that was kind of fun to think about where he can go. But as time goes on, we get closer to the All-Star game. We're going to get much different headlines from LeBron and a lot of players who really don't want to play in the All-Star game. They have made this known. And Adam Silver has said in the last 24 hours, we're going to play the All-Star game because it's the right thing to do. And this is where I'm surprised at this, Doug, because the one thing I know you and I are usually in lockstep on is that Adam Silver doesn't like to do anything. Never wants to upset the players, doesn't want to. And here he is, planting his flag on, we have to have the All-Star game. When the players don't want it, the mayor of Atlanta doesn't want it, nobody wants this game. But now I'm going to say right here, we're going to go play this game right now, and here is my flag.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, we all answer to somebody, right? And he answers to those owners, and those owners need that money. And those owners also answer to TV, and Turner holds half the rights to the NBA. It's in their city. It's their event. And that this is happening. But yes, it just the whole thing for a guy who has been so player first to say this is the right thing to do leaves everybody rolling their eyes.
I mean, the money is not nearly what it's going to be. Look, you can't have the whole fan fest. The mayor is saying don't come to the city. Right. Don't come to the city. Don't.
No, but that's
come
not
here.
Where the money is for the NBA. You. The money for the NBA is in the TV deal.
Right.
They have a standalone game.
Yeah, Turner can make between $15 and $25 million on this, it, depending on what's included in the game. When you include the slam dunk contest and different things,
yeah,
and that $15 million that's going to be worth it for this with between silver and the players.
Yes. I mean, like, listen, these TV deals are terrible deals to begin with. That's part of it. Was ESPN and Turner bid themselves up, right? Because Fox was involved, some other people were involved in trying to get in, and they bid them up. And they're terrible deals. So you got to make back some return on that investment. Absolutely. Absolutely. A game you can make $15 to $25 million or not have, and you're talking about fulfilling a contract. Because if you don't fulfill the contract, when there's no reason to not fulfill the contract, if you can have these other games, you can have an All-Star game, then you stand in breach of that contract. So I think there's no question that money is worth it, because it also isn't factoring in the money lost. It isn't factoring in the possible details within the contract if you don't fulfill those obligations.
Is it worth? Yes, it's in a vacuum. You can make $15 to $25 million, or you might have to give back some money if you're a network. And I get that part of it. But is that kind of money worth what this could mean for the relationship between Silver and the players? Right? How? Because we
yes, of course it is. Like all these guys. Like if they didn't want to do it, they shouldn't have agreed to it. The NBAPA and one of LeBron's best friends, the head of the NBAPA, is Chris Paul. This happens all the time. Like, who made this rule? Like, we did. Why? Because we said so. We all voted on it. Okay. I'm mad. Keep playing. Like, it doesn't... They agreed to it. It wasn't Adam Silver coming down heavy-handed. He was like, look, do you guys want to give back some of this money? No. Then we got to have an All-Star game. Okay. You know? Enough of you guys got to show up. We'll do the best we can. Okay. That's the way it works. I'm going to act really... This reminds me of... As you know, I coached AAU games this past weekend, right?
You coached like 50 of them.
It was a lot of games. And on Sunday, we had a very exciting 12U game. And I got this kid. His name's Hugh Hannon. Hugh's terrific. He's 12 years old. He's one of the two or three best 12-year-olds in Southern California, which speaks a lot. There's a lot of good basketball players. Anyway, late in the game, we ran a little backdoor play. And he gets, after he makes the basket, he gets fouled, kind of run into the stanchion and cuts his lip all open. So his dad, who's a Hawaiian dude, great dude, he lost his mind. Like, he's halfway on the court. He's yelling at this ref because the ref can't really move. I'm like, so I go over there and I said, look, listen, I got to act like I'm mad at you. Okay. I got to act like I'm mad at you and you have to get off the floor. You cannot go after the ref. I was like, but I'm not really mad at you because your kid's over there bleeding and I'd probably be doing the same thing. But I got to act like I'm really upset. So pretend like I'm telling you, I'm calming you down. He's like, okay. So then I go over to the ref and I go, I got to act like I'm really mad at you. Even though I didn't even see him get hit in the face because it was after the play and we were on to the next play. But I got to act like I'm really mad at you. Right? That's exactly what the players are doing to Adam Silver. I got to act like I'm really mad about Adam Silver as if he's the worst thing. When it was clearly explained, hey, if you're going to play, we got to have an All-Star game, because if we don't have an All-Star game, we're in breach of contract. Do you understand? And they absolutely all understand that.
And if that was being broadcast, it would be, Doug Gottlieb is losing his mind right now.
He's losing his mind.
He's yelling at his player. He's yelling at the referee. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show. Hey, we got Colts Insider coming up next for all the latest on the Carson Wentz trade. Keep it right here. This is Fox.